Good afternoon, and welcome to 60 for 60. Good afternoon, people of God. Thank you for joining us on today. This is our focus time of prayer. Amen. We had made a decision in the beginning of the year by the leading of the Holy Spirit that we would dedicate at least 60 minutes at a minimum to the Lord every single day. And we have been doing just that. Amen. And I know that it has been a strength to many of you because you testified that it has been. And you know what? Anything that's a God idea is going to give us exactly what we need. Amen. So we have dedicated 60 minutes per day. And how have we been doing it? Well, we've been doing it as a body in increments of 20 minutes. So we meet 20 minutes at 5 a.m. We meet 20 minutes at noon. And then we meet 20 minutes personally in our personal prayer time right before we go to sleep. And so we welcome you, those that are new here for 60 for 60. We welcome you here. And for those of us that have been here for a while from the beginning or wherever we got in on the 60 for 60, we want to welcome you back to this space. Today, God has given me something very, very specific for the body. Very, very specific. I want to come from Numbers 20 today. And we're going to be talking about speak to the rock, do not strike the name. I know that many of you are not able to grab your scripture like we can do at 5 a.m., but for those that are able to grab your scripture on today, I want you to get your Bibles and go to Numbers 20. Speak to the rock. Do not strike the name is our target on today. Speak to the rock. Do not strike the name. If you have a moment, why don't you text someone and tell them, hey, listen, go ahead and get on the line. You don't want to miss today. You don't want to miss today. We are in Numbers 20. Numbers 20 is where Moses is instructed by God to speak to the rock. But Moses chooses to do what? To strike the rock instead. Now, pay close attention because we're going to read it in a moment. But you're going to see that water still comes out of the rock. You're going to notice that the people still drink. You're going to notice that the miracle still happens. Yet God himself confronts Moses afterward because Moses misrepresented God in the sight of the people. And so, on today, I believe that many of you will be able to identify with this narrative because it shows us how a person can be faithful for years, but then become spiritually fatigued in pressure moments. It shows us how grief and repetition and leadership strain can sharpen a leader's tone until they begin to treat people like something that happened previously, instead of discerning the present situation. Moses did not wake up planning to dishonor God. Moses arrived at that moment carrying weight that had been accumulating over time. The pressure of leading a murmuring community across decades, the exhaustion of repeated cycles that sounded the same even when the people changed. The ache of personal loss. How many have experienced within the last 10 years personal loss? In the beginning of this chapter, his sister Miriam dies at the very opening. The strain of being responsible for outcomes that he did not cause, but he still had to manage. And when these pressures are compounded, a leader can begin to move from patience to irritation. A leader can move from being fully dependent to be controlling, and from precise obedience to familiar patterns. And so Numbers 20, it shows us what happens when old patterns become more familiar than present instructions. Moses had already seen water come from a rock in an earlier season. In that earlier season, God told him to strike the rock. It was in the book of Exodus. But here in Numbers 20, God changes the instructions. God does not remove the rod, but God changes the method. He tells Moses to speak. Moses carries an old solution into a new moment. And that is how many believers enter this tension. They're not abandoning God. They are defaulting to what worked before. They are using yesterday's methods in today's pressure. And the outcome can still manifest because God is faithful to his people. But heaven still measures representation and precision and trust. And so our goal here this afternoon, we're going to look at what God is measuring in Numbers 20. We're going to name modern equivalents of striking the rock. And we're going to walk through practical correction that restores our obedience and our tone and our leadership. So look with me at Numbers 20. Give me just, bear with me a moment so that I can read these scriptures. I'm going to only read the first 13, and then we're going to go into our lesson for today. Numbers 20, verse 1 says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren should die there? Verse 5, And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Question mark. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I had given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Today we're talking about speak to the rock, do not strike the name. I want you to write this if you're able to. Repetition can create familiarity. Repetition can create familiarity. Familiarity can dull our discernment. You see, Moses had lived through cycles. He had lived through complaints, no water. He had lived through accusations. He had lived through the pressure from the people. Is there someone on the line with their line unmuted? Thank you. Moses had lived through the pressure from the people. He had lived through the pressure from responsibility. And over time, repetition can tempt a leader to stop discerning the moment and start reacting to the pattern. And that is what happens here. The people are wrong in their posture. Moses is right to go to God first. Yet Moses returns to the assembly and speaks as if he is dealing with the former generation. He labels them rebels, and he defaults to an old method. See, familiarity is very dangerous because it feels like wisdom, but it can become a substitute for hearing. Hear me, people of God. You hear the same kind of issue again, so you respond with the same kind of tone. You assume motive. You assume rebellion. You assume disrespect. You stop asking, Lord, what is happening here? And you begin saying, here we go again. So when you feel the phrase, here we go again, rising in you, stop and re-enter the inquiry. Ask God, what is actually happening in this moment? I know it is familiar to me because it's happened to me before. But stop and ask God, what is actually happening in this moment? What instruction has God given for this moment? Ask the question, is my response coming from my discernment or is it coming from my fatigue? Because, again, people of God, familiarity can dull our discernment. Let me keep going. Miriam, his sister, died. Point number two today is grief can shrink our patience, especially when it is not processed. This chapter opens with loss. Miriam dies in verse 1. And then the pressure hits. Moses is carrying grief and leadership strain at the same time. Many leaders do not grieve because people are still demanding. People still want from you even though you're going through. Needs don't pause. Yet what we have to understand is unprocessed grief often becomes irritability in us. Unprocessed grief literally shows up as us being rigid, and it quickly escalates our emotions. Moses does not mention Miriam, but the text does not show communal mourning. It moves straight into conflict. You don't always strike the rock because you're rebellious. Sometimes you strike it because you are raw. You're depleted. You're still functional, but your soul is unprocessed. Hear me. Name your loss. Schedule time for that loss in prayer. You don't want to have to collapse because of grief. You got to acknowledge what reality you're in now. When you ignore grief, it will show up. It'll show up in your tone. It'll show up in your rigidness. Come on. Grief can shrink our patience, so we have to process through it. Point number three today is old solutions become a trap when God changes the instruction. Old solutions become a trap when God changes the instruction. God's instruction is very clear. Speak ye unto the rock. Moses doesn't do that. He strikes twice. Moses uses what worked before, but the instruction is different now. And this is a major mechanism behind selective obedience. People obey God until obedience requires a new method that exposes their internal state. You keep doing what worked in a former season. You keep parenting the way you were parented. You keep leading with pressure because pressure got results. You keep correcting with heat because heat made people move. The method is familiar, but the instruction has changed. We've got to treat God's current instruction as sacred. Write it down. Repeat it back to him. Ask him to confirm it in scripture and in peace. Then obey it, even if your nervous system wants to revert back to what you are familiar with. Point number four today. Misrepresentation often shows up in language that centers the leader. Numbers 20 and 10 says these words, "Must we fetch you water?" This isn't just anger. This is his identity drifting. Moses speaks as if the provision is coming from him and Aaron. God calls it unbelief and a failure to sanctify him in the sight of Israel. Moses made himself central in a moment where God intended to reveal himself as holy. When your speech starts centering you, when your fatigue starts rewriting your theology, you begin to feel like everything depends on you. And then you resent people for needing you. Then you respond in a way that makes them fear God instead of trust God. We've got to audit our language for subtle self-insertion. We have to replace "I have to" with "God is faithful." We've got to replace "must we" with "Lord, sanctify yourself." We got to practice delegation as spiritual obedience, not as a productivity hack. I'm almost done. Point number five. Fruit is not always endorsement. Let me say that again. Fruit is not always endorsement. Why? Because God will protect people even when leaders are misaligned. Somebody better hear that today. Fruit is not always endorsement. God will always protect his people even when leaders are misaligned. Water comes out abundantly in Numbers 20:11. The miracle still manifested. Yet the Lord confronts Moses. God is faithful to his people, y'all. But God is also very precise about how we represent him. People can be blessed and they can still be drifting. Things can still work while heaven is still correcting you. Outcomes are not your only measure. So here's what we have to do. We got to build a better scorecard. We've got to ask, was I obedient? We've got to ask, did I represent God accurately? We've got to ask, was my tone holy? We got to ask, did my leadership sanctify God or showcase my frustration? My last point, and I'm getting ready to pray. Joshua shows the alternative. We've got to stay with God beyond the instruction. Joshua departed not out of the tabernacle. And this is further down in Exodus 33, like verse 11. Moses went in for instruction and returned to manage. Joshua stayed to abide. And that abiding builds stability. It trains you not to default to old patterns under pressure. And many believers only seek God for solutions. Few remain for the transformation. Transformation is what protects us from striking when God says speak. So I want to encourage us to add staying time after prayer. 10 minutes of silence after prayer. No phone, no next task. Stay until your internal urgency calms. And that is where your tone is purified. And so today at the noonday hour, we choose precise obedience. We choose clean representation. We will not confuse results with approval, right? We will not use spiritual tools to discharge our emotional pressure, right? We will not speak as if people's future depends on our capacity, but we will sanctify God in the eyes of those watching our lives by speaking the way he instructed, when he instructed, with the spirit he requires. So this week, I want you to identify one place where you have been striking. And then I want you to choose one correction step. I want you to pause before you respond. I want you to regulate your body in prayer. And I want you to replace must we language with worship. Delegate what you have been clutching onto. And stay in the tent longer than your comfort. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come with reverence on today for your holiness and gratitude for your mercy, Father. We acknowledge that you are not only powerful, but you are very precise. Purify our representation of you, O God, because we refuse to mislabel you to the people that are watching our lives. Lord, we bring you what we have not processed on today. We name the losses that we have buried under responsibility. We name the disappointments that we have carried without the language, oh God. We name the fatigue that we have spiritualized instead of addressing. Heal the places where grief has shrunk our patience and sharpened our tone. God, restore tenderness back to the hearts of man today without removing their authority. Restore clarity without removing compassion, Father. God, we pray, God, that you would deliver us from reacting to patterns instead of discerning moments. When our mind says, here we go again, retrain our spirit to ask, Lord, what are you saying now? Break familiarity that has replaced listening, Father. Break assumption that has replaced inquiry, Father. Give us fresh ears. Give us present sight. Give us precision under pressure. Holy Spirit, make your instruction sacred to us again. Where we have carried old solutions into new seasons, we're praying that you will correct us. Where we have said speak, where you have said speak, God, and we have struck, forgive us today. Where you have said wait and we have rushed, forgive us today. Where you have said be gentle and we have been harsh, forgive us today. Give us grace to obey the method, not just pursue the outcome. Father, cleanse our language today. Remove must we from our spirit. Remove the illusion of being the source. Remove the need to feel needed. We declare that you and you alone are the provider. You are the deliverer. You are the one who brings water from rocks. Teach us to lead without pride. God, teach us to lead without resentment. Teach us to serve without becoming swollen in self-importance, oh God. Lord, we pray that you would build in us a staying spirit, that you would teach us to remain in your presence beyond instruction, that you would teach us to linger until our tone is purified and our nervous systems are settled. Let intimacy reshape our leadership. Let abiding restore our soul. Make us people who sanctify you in the eyes of others, not only with what we do, but with who we are. Father, make us safe. Make us a safe people. Make us a safe people to grow around, God. Make us a safe people to be around, Father. Give us wisdom to correct without crushing people. Give us restraint to hold people accountable while keeping them connected. Remove shame-based leadership from our hearts, oh God. Teach us to handle mistakes in a way that produces healing in us and maturity and transformation. We ask for your precision today. We ask for your purity. We ask for your presence. Sanctify yourself in our lives. Sanctify yourself in our homes. Sanctify yourself in our speech and in our leadership. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. We're at 12:24, so we have just a few moments. I will open the line on today. If you are here and this really resonated with you, you may say, I'm not a leader, or you may not even see yourself as a leader. But if you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're managing on your job, you're a leader. You are a leader in different spaces of your life. So this pertains to us all. If you're here today and this really resonated with you, or if you have a testimony, please feel free to come forth at this time.
Grace and peace, everyone. This is PIT Cam. I want to say thank you so much, Apostle, for this teaching and this time of prayer. This absolutely is something that resonates with me, something that the Lord is pausing me, and it's very intentional with me when it comes to my emotions and spending more time in His stillness. Oftentimes, myself and I think anyone else can attest, is you tend to kind of rush through, not intentionally, you're not trying to, but you finish your prayer and you rush through and you don't take enough time to just settle in what you've just prayed and actually sit with what you've prayed. And God is challenging me to do more of that, and it has blessed me so much. So I'm so grateful for this teaching, because God really truly is one voice. And so I do thank you for your obedience and moving and just bringing us back to His stillness. So thank you.
Amen. Thank God on today. We bless Him. And we thank God that you were able to pull that out of the lesson on today. Will there be another that would like to come forth? Please feel free to do so at this time.
Grace and peace, this Prophet Shane. This is really good. I learned a lot. Just the wisdom that was poured out on today, I want to just thank you for. You were talking about this. It hit hard when you said that just because there's fruit doesn't mean that God is still not processing you, even as a leader. And sometimes you also talked about seeing things through the lens of familiarity, that because it was one way in one season, that when you see it again, you kind of just go ahead and associate the outcome with what is, you know, currently happening. And that's something that, you know, I've recently had to learn not to do, is to just stop and pause and to really hear God concerning everything, regardless of if I feel like I've been through it before or I've seen this before, to really just, you know, as a leader, to really just always hear what God is saying and not to always continue to depend on the last season or a prior instruction concerning a thing. So this is walking down my road. So thank you, Apostle.
Amen. We thank God on today. And, you know, as you being a mental health therapist and, you know, you dealing with people all the time, I'm sure that some of the instructions you give to them is pause before you react or respond to someone. And also, to process what we're going through. I think, especially as women, and I know there's not only women here, but I'm going to give it to you from my personal experience. I know that women in particular, we just keep going sometimes. We will brush things under the rug, even if it doesn't feel comfortable to us, or that's not what we wanted, or we feel slighted in the moment, or whatever it is, we tend to just say, okay, well, and we go with it, and that's not really what we want. And so we have to learn how to process things in the moment, because if we don't, then eventually it doesn't go away. It's still there. And so if you keep going on and on and on and on, eventually one day it's going to, I'm being told there's no sound. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Eventually, if you do not address whatever it is in your heart, then what's going to end up happening is resentment is going to build up there, and then you are going to get frustrated and lash out. So it's better to, if there is something that is bothering you, if there's something that you feel at any point where you were slighted, Hello? If you feel grief, if you feel like there is something that you need to address, it's better to process it in the moment with God and even with the people that you may have the frustration with, rather than just continue to go on like nothing happened, because guess what? That's going to come up in a different season. And it's going to be worse than it was before because you let it settle. You let it fester, and it becomes something that it shouldn't become, right? And so it's just better for us to deal with our humanity during those times. And I'm not saying we just are hasty and we just talk about it right then. Sometimes we have to process it out with God and then go to the person or address the situation that happened. So thank you for sharing, both of you. Anyone else today would like to come forth?
Good blessing. Tiffany Brown, Arizona. Greetings.
This message was amazing. I'm smiling inside right now because I was thinking about when I had, excuse me, can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I was thinking about actually when I first was introduced to the apostolic and prophetic, I was thinking about a specific spiritual father that I had that was really, really harsh. He grew up, was birthed out of a real hard lineage that was really hard on him. And so it was passed down. And even though there was a sort of effectiveness, people were bruised and damaged because of the way that the rock was smolded, the way that the delivery, the carrying out of the mission and birthing out other sons and daughters. And, you know, I pray God's mercy that, you know, there's a message like this in the earth that is going to touch somebody that was affected mentally, emotionally, all the things in regards to the delivery and the way that things may have seemed like they weren't in love. Prophetically, you know, we know in part, we see in part, and some of those parts that we do see, you know, are hurtful and harmful. And when you're blasting someone in means of control, you know, they're learning that this is the way to do things, you know, and God has called me and chosen me, you know, and this is how I should do things, almost performance, because this. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, God, if there's any of that was imparted or left, you know, uproot that out, you know, and there's no desire to have to perform in front of man. There's no desire to be up under that type of pressure where I'm not only losing myself, but I'm harming a babe, or I'm harming someone that, you know, has fresh zeal, you know, and that is being introduced, you know, to God and to reintroducing themselves to people again. And so I was thinking about that. There's so much more to say in regards to it, but it blessed me, and there's a huge work that needs to be done on the inside of me and others. Pertaining to this word, and I'm looking forward to it. And this is just some advice or some comfort to people that heard the message and said, "God, you know, I'm just so far from you. You know, I might be mean, or I don't know how to deal with people, or I'm irritated by people. You know, God can do a quantum leap." You know, we have the mental health specialist on the line. You know, we know that there are different parts to, you know, the anointing. And we've got to be cleaned up. We've got to be cleaned up mentally, emotionally. We've got to be sound, all of those things. And so I really love you all. I feel the Spirit of God here on today. And I know that this message, if it just reaches someone else like it reached me, is going to be effective. And God has done a work here. God has done a work, and we thank God. I'm done.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. I think one of the key things that you said, because, you know, you were talking about leaders in particular that can be mean and can be controlling. And I think that I don't think that that is just limited to leaders, even though, you know, that's who we're talking about today. I think that can be limited. That could be anyone that has unprocessed trauma in their soul. Anyone that has unprocessed hurt and pain in their soul can eventually come. It can absolutely come out as being mean, being curt, being sarcastic, being prideful. It comes out in different ways, passive aggressiveness. Okay, that's showing that the person, although they're powerful in their own right, it's showing that that person has something that is unprocessed or some things that are unprocessed in their soul, right? And so all of us as human beings, if we address the things that are going on in us, and some of us, you know, we wait to do that, but it's no matter when you decide to do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, so God can clean up the debris in your soul, right, by using these tools that he's giving us. And sometimes the tools are in forms of people. Sometimes it's through his word. You know, sometimes it's through different methods. But the fact is, if God gives us these tools, we need to use them so we can, our souls can be clean and elevated beyond the pain that we're currently experiencing now. Because we don't want to be in a position where God gives us instructions, and because of things happening in our soul, we strike the rock instead of speaking to it. No one wants to do that. Anyone else that wants to share on today before we close?
Go ahead, Shan. I'll wait till you finish.
As I was listening to what was just stated, one thing that did come in my spirit was the need for grace. Just as we receive grace from God, we also have to extend it, not just horizontally, but vertically as well, even when it comes to leadership, because they're also being processed. And that was something I learned a while back, and I just felt led to share that because we want our leaders to get it right. But as we just learned about Moses, that was a moment where he didn't get it right, you know, but there still has to be a measure of grace. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Agreed. There was someone else that was coming forth.
I want to say, this is Tara. I just want to say thank you so much, Mommy. This was definitely a on-time message for me, especially when you said how we go and we pray with God and we study the Word of God. And then right after we do that, we jump right into doing another activity or something like that. That stuck out to me because as I look back over my life, I never did that. And I believe with me coming into alignment with what you have said, it would not only help me process my spiritual growth, but it will also help me process and making rational decisions, because I have thought about it, put some more thought and a little bit more time into what I have studied. So I want to say thank you so much for this word today, Mom. Thank you.
Amen and amen. There was a question that was sent directly to me that said, how do you know when it's better to be silent? And the scripture that I gave that person was James 1:19, where it says, let every man be quick to listen, but slow to use his tongue and slow to lose his temper. I think that right there in itself is a curriculum that we can flesh out, because a lot of times the reason why we don't know when to speak or not to speak is because we don't listen well. And this is every one of us. I know for me, a lot of times, because I'm so quick-witted or quick with my mouth at times, or I have been in the past, I wasn't really hearing what you were saying. I was ready to respond. But when we really actively listen first, listen to God, because he will give you the instruction and he will let you know if he wants you to respond or not. So we have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to lose our temper or anger, the scripture says. So I wanted to share that question because there may be someone else on the line today that has that very same question. And so hopefully that particular verse will help you on today as well. Anyone else that would like to share, please feel free to come forth. Thank you, Father. Well, certainly I am excited that we had a couple of people that were able to come on at noon. A lot of times we're not able to do so because we're at work or we may be listening in our cubicle and we cannot talk. But I thank God for the ones that are here today, sharing, listening, praying along, engaging on this afternoon. And don't forget your 20 minutes with the Lord tonight before you go to sleep. Don't forget to get that in. Amen. So you can complete your 60 minutes, 60 for 60. We will be right back here on the line in the morning at 5 a.m. If you would like to go back and listen to the replay, please feel free to go to our website, which is www.scentmiami.com. Click on the drop down and you'll see 60 for 60, and you are able to access all of the replays. Now, the ones from today, give at least 24 hours for them to be up, but they will be up and available for you to go back and you can listen as well. And this morning we made the announcement, so we might as well make the announcement here. Next Sunday, which is the third Sunday, not this upcoming Sunday, but the following, which is the 15th, Valentine's Day weekend, we are celebrating 3 years of existence, 3 years of establishment, 3 years of apostolic work in the earth. Thank God for Scent Miami. And in, you know, the central part of Scent Miami,
you're muted.
Can you all hear me?
Now, yes.
Okay. We are ordaining pastor in training, Renita Smith, and we are ordaining pastor in training, Cameron Watson, on the 15th of February at 5 a.m. So we encourage you all that are here in Miami-Dade County, Broward County, West Palm Beach County, to travel on down to be with us for ordination on that day as we celebrate not only 3 years, but we celebrate also the ordaining of these two beautiful vessels of God. And so those are all of the announcements that we have today. We love you. We thank God for you. And we bid you more
grace.
Hopefully we can hear you.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. You said Scent,
yes, S-E-N-T? Yes, ma'am.
www.scentmiami.
Uh-huh. ScentMiami, one word, .com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so we're going to release the line, and hopefully we'll hear you back here at 5 a.m. in the morning. We love you. More grace.